That brings us then to our message this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to James. We began this series considering the blessing of the Lord on January 12th. Seems like a lifetime ago, doesn't it? Wow, how our lives, how our world has changed since then. I don't believe God's will for us has changed, though. It was true on January 12th. I believe it's still to be true now, today, March 29th. God wants you blessed. God wants to bless you. We quoted it then. I want to again today just to let you know it's still the truth. Blessing is God's default setting, His first and foremost reflex. God wants to bless you beyond your ability to ask or imagine. He has blessings for you in categories you can't even conceive of. God is in the blessing business, and as His children, blessing is our birthright. The author said it this way, let me remind you the latitude and longitude of God's blessing. At Bethlehem, He's God with us. At Calvary, He's God for us. And at Pentecost, He is God in us. God with us is joy unspeakable and the peace that surpasses understanding. God for us is His favor, the X factor between the best we can do and the best God can do. And God in us is power, resurrection power. That's God's blessing. All that God does inside you, all that God gives to you, beginning simply with this, His joy and His peace. That's God's blessing. His favor that He puts on you, that's God's blessing. His power that He makes available to you, His resurrection power that He gives to you and lets you to live in, that's God's blessing. The blessing of God is this: if you know God's with you, no matter what, you can get through anything. And if you know God's for you, you can overcome every obstacle in your way. And if you know God's in you, nothing can stop you. That is the blessing. God with us, God for us, and God in us. That's the blessing of God. You getting through anything, you getting through everything, you overcoming every obstacle, you unstoppable. That's the blessing of the Lord. I said it then, let me again say it today. Make no mistake about it. Don't doubt it. Don't question it. Know it with confidence, even with absolute certainty. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless me. New Life, listen to me this morning. God wants to bless us. And so even still today, what a different day it is. But still today, we pray God's will for us. We pray the will of God over our lives. We pray then that He would bless us. More than that, we set our hearts to discovering how we can make His blessing happen in our lives. James 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. Blessing is found in persevering. So today, we make the blessing happen. We persevere. We establish within our character the trait of perseverance. Let me share with you four things this morning. First, this: perseverance. What is it? As defined by the dictionary, perseverance is a continued effort to do or achieve something. Synonyms found in the dictionary would be words like this: steadfastness, endurance, dedication, tenacity. I like these two old school words: grit and moxie. I like this one as well. Perseverance, it's a stick-to-itiveness. So perseverance, it involves all of that. The dictionary goes a bit further, though. Perseverance is a continued effort to do or to achieve something despite difficulties, despite initial failure, despite opposition, despite discouragement. Perseverance is a good, it's a quality character trait, but all of us would understand it's only evidenced in the trouble. It's only evidenced in the trial. Perseverance doesn't come into play when everything is good and everything is going good. I think of it as it relates to life and specifically how life works for us. There is that is the everyday life where we work, the 9-to-5 job, the mundane, the monotonous. But then there's that special occasion. Maybe it's a week, maybe it's a long weekend. We call it vacation. Vacation from the work. Vacation from the everyday life. Typically, we go somewhere. Typically, we're doing different. Vacation, the beach is beautiful. The sun is bright. The water's warm. The hotel's amazing. The restaurants are fantastic. Please note this morning, understand, we don't talk about having to persevere through that, right? Perseverance is not a word used in our vocabulary when we're talking about vacation. Think of it as it relates to how we eat. That big bowl of ice cream with the chocolate on top, there was no perseverance needed to get through that, right? Now, the plate full of broccoli or whatever vegetable it is you don't like, maybe we would use the word for that. But the ice cream, no. The dessert, no. By virtue of its definition, our pursuit of perseverance, our pursuit of the blessing that comes on the other side of perseverance, it's going to involve the difficulty. You can't get to perseverance apart from facing the difficulty. You can't get to the blessing that comes from perseverance except that you've had to navigate your way through the trouble. Perseverance involves opposition. It's evidence when failure has come, when discouragement has as well. The kind of failure, the kind of discouragement that would make us want to quit. Listen, if life is going good and it's no problem, it's no trouble, it's no difficulty for you to continue on because all the money's there to pay the bills and the health is just perfect and the family is just fine, you're not going to need perseverance then. It's when all the opposite of that is true for you, when the failure has come, when the discouragement has come, when the money's not there, when the job's not going good, when the doctor's not giving a good report, when the family seems to be falling apart more than sticking together. It's then the question arises, oh, but now what are you going to do? How are you going to handle this that you're dealing with? That's where the perseverance comes into play. When we're dealing with the things that would make us to want to quit, that's when we persevere when dealing with that kind of stuff. One describes perseverance this way. Perseverance does not require us to resign ourselves to whatever happens to us, but it does require us to have a tough resolve, a brave endurance in adverse circumstances. Second, then, perseverance. Why do we need it? Well, we need it because life includes more than just vacation. Dinner involves more than just dessert. We need it because life is full of the difficult, the adverse, the troublesome. Life is full even of failure and discouragement and opposition. Let's sum it up this way. We need perseverance because life is full of trials. Trials, those are the things in life that squeeze in on us, that put pressure on us, that create fear and worry within us, that stress us out, that make us to hit the panic button, as it were. And listen, life is going to be like that. Jesus himself said, in this life, we're going to have trouble. You need perseverance in order to get through that trouble. More than that, more than just life being like that, really it's this: life has to be like that, because it's by way of the trial that we not only develop perseverance, but as well we mature in our faith. It's by the trial that our faith is tested, that our faith is proven, even that our faith is perfected. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, we read this: "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." The trials are going to come. They have to come so that your faith might be mature. And in order to survive the trial, you're going to need perseverance. Let's add this as well. We need perseverance because our faith is a journey. Paul even refers to it as a fight to be won, a race to be finished. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, "I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure." In verse 7, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." It was the time of his departure, and this was Paul's testimony of triumph. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Faith is a journey that's to be endured, a journey that is to be finished. In Hebrews, the illustration is made of Israel, the generation that had fled Egypt in the Exodus and yet had failed to take possession of the land. Why? Because they rebelled against God. They failed in their faith. They quit on the journey of faith. They didn't persevere. And from their example, which is not a good one, the challenge is given to us in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Israel started well, but faith is a journey that must be endured. Faith is a journey that must be persevered through, so that ultimately it's not just started well, but it's finished. And there is no turning from God. There is no rebellion. There is no hardening of hearts. We are not wandering through the wilderness, but we are in our own pilgrimage, aren't we? To a promised land through this that we call life. And this life, it can wear away at our faith, can it? Trials come, difficulty comes, discouragement, disappointments are experienced. There's just everyday life that happens. How important it would be for us then to grasp this truth. Starting well in our faith doesn't guarantee a victorious end for our faith. So we persevere. We don't go the way of Israel. We don't rebel against God. We don't harden our hearts towards him. We don't lose. We don't fail in our faith. We guard our faith. We protect our faith. We keep the faith. We persevere, and we persevere in our faith. Let me give you one more. We need perseverance because sometimes God does things we don't understand. Sometimes, maybe better for us to say many times, even most of the time, God does things we don't understand. Today might be such a day for you. Perhaps you don't understand what God's doing. Maybe you don't understand why God hasn't done for you already. Maybe God hasn't met your expectation. And because of that, there has maybe come doubt into your heart, into your life. In Matthew chapter 11, you can read the story of John the Baptist imprisoned. John had called Herod out on his sin. He faithfully, uncompromisingly, boldly preached the truth. He called sin, sin, even when it was in Herod's life. And for that, he was thrown into jail. Reading the story, we quickly discover the real problem for John. It had nothing to do with Herod, nothing to do with the prison cell. It was the disappointment of unmet expectations. God, shouldn't I be rewarded for my faithfulness? God, I didn't compromise your word. I didn't compromise the truth. I preached it though it would cost me. Why then the jail cell? God, shouldn't you be looking out for me? Shouldn't you be taking care of me? Shouldn't you be protecting me from the jail cell because I preached the truth? Because I didn't compromise? It was the doubt that took root and lingered in John's mind. There's an author that has written a book entitled it, The Prisoner in the Third Cell. It's the story of John the Baptist in prison. The author creates other fictional characters. One that has been imprisoned along with John, his name is Hanel. And a fictional guard in charge of the prison, his name is Protheus. Let me read just a portion. A thin, bony man moved up to the door of his cell and looked wildly into the eyes of the captain of the guards. John? Here? Are you telling me John is here in this prison? Are you telling me, Protheus, that he has been thrown into cell 3 of all places? Yes, Hanel. Herod has arrested John and had him brought here. Has God no pity? Has God no feelings? Asked Hanel in a cold, thin voice. Does devotion mean nothing to him? I once trusted in God just as John does. Are you really there, John? Do you remember me? I lived a devout and holy life before God. You remember, don't you, John? Well, look at what it has brought me. And you, see what devotion to God has brought you? Is this to be the end for men who have loved God and obeyed him? What kind of a God is it that will allow such things as we now suffer? God, you have thrown one of your very own servants into a slimy hole. Hanel thrust one arm through the bars of his cell, clenched his fist, raised his face, and spat curses at God. He then ended his ravings with one last pronouncement. Never again will I serve a God who treats men this way. When I needed him, where was he? John, where is your God when you need him the most? And the author concludes the dialogue. Not a single sound rose from the third cell. Probably all of us this morning know what it is to feel like God has let us down. We can't make sense of what he's doing. We maybe even wonder if he's doing anything. What do you do when, like John, God doesn't meet your expectations? What he should do, how he should help, he doesn't do that. He doesn't help like that. What do you do when, like John, you're in a situation where God's not making any sense and you don't understand? You don't understand why he doesn't explain himself to you. You don't understand why he doesn't make things right. You don't understand why he doesn't perform a miracle like you'd want him to or ask him to. You don't understand why he hasn't set you free from the prison you find yourself in. Do you doubt like John did? We know John struggled because of the message he sends to Jesus. Are you the one who was to come? Or should we expect someone else? That's a far cry from John's earlier testimony about to baptize Jesus in the Jordan River to the crowds and all that could hear him. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But now disappointment has come, doubt has come, and now the voice of John, are you the one who was to come? Or should we be expecting and looking for someone else? The prisoner in the third cell, the author concludes, really the lesson for us. The question is not, why is God doing this? Why is he like this? The question is not, why does he not answer me? The question is not, I need him desperately, why does he not come rescue me? The question is not, why did God allow this tragedy to happen to me, to my children, to my wife, to my husband, to my family? The question is this: will you follow a God you do not understand? Blessed are you if you are not offended with him. Your Lord has put something in your life which you cannot bear. The burden is simply too great. He was never supposed to do this. But the question remains, will you continue to follow this God who did not live up to your expectations? Blessed are you if you're not offended with him. Dear friend, no one can fully understand the pain you feel as you suffer your present situation. Whether it came upon you because of circumstances or by the deeds of men, one thing is certain. Before this present tragedy entered into your life, it first passed through the sovereign hand of God. And blessed are you if you are not offended by him. It was the message that Jesus sent in return to John's question. Jesus said, go back and tell John all that you see, all that you hear. The blind are receiving sight. The lame are walking. Leprosy is being cured. The deaf are hearing. The dead are being raised. And the good news is being preached to the poor. Go tell John all of that. Go tell John this as well. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. The trials will come. Faith is a journey, and along the way, God will do some things we surely won't understand. And that's why we need the perseverance. Perseverance, what is it? Why do we need it? Third this morning, perseverance, how do we get it? Let me take you again to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That's it. That's first, anyways. Fix your eyes, fix your thoughts on Jesus. That's how we persevere. We think of Jesus. We remember Jesus. We consider Jesus, how he loves us, how he cares for us, how he intercedes at the right hand of the Father for us, how he is our friend that sticks closer than a brother, how he accepts us, how he forgives us, how he counsels us, how he empathizes and sympathizes with us, how he is ever faithful to us, how his presence is ever with us, how extravagantly generous and good he always is toward us. When the wilderness wandering that is this life, when it wears away at you, what do we do to guard our faith? What do we do to protect our faith? What do we do to keep our faith? What do we do to persevere? We fix our eyes on Jesus. We fix our thoughts on Jesus. We make our hearts responsive to him. Again, the illustration is Israel in the wilderness. The writer of Hebrews points us to their fault and warns us of doing the same in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. So the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert where your fathers tested and tried me. Always for the believer will be the voice of the Lord calling to us, revealing to us, this is the way, walk in it. Ministering to us, counseling us, directing us, always instructing us that he might shape and mold us so that we might ever be more and more like Jesus, so that we might ever look more and more like Jesus. And in that, then, always for the believer will be the instruction, the admonition. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Always for the believer will be the need to have a responsive heart to the Lord, towards his word, towards his instruction, towards his command, toward his calling, towards his commissioning, towards his conviction, even his demand for change in us. May we ever have a responsive heart to him. It's how we will persevere. We look to Jesus. We make our hearts responsive to him. We hold firmly to the confidence that we have in him. Hebrews 3 and verse 14, for if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we shall share in all that belongs to Christ. Hold fast to that first confidence. Discover again that first love, that first hope, that first joy and life that you had in Jesus. Trusting God just as firmly today as when you first believed. It's how you will persevere today. It's how you will have and live in perseverance. We look to Jesus and we receive from him the help that he and he alone can give. You know how to keep the faith? You know how to persevere? Consistently and constantly, you make your way to the throne and you receive from the Lord there and then his grace and his mercy. You receive from him there and then in your hour of need, in your trouble, in all that would make you want to quit, you go boldly into the throne room of grace so that you can receive there and then, in that moment, in that hour, the help that you need so that you might persevere. We also look forward to that coming day of rest with Jesus. Listen, you will know perseverance now. You will experience the development of it, the increase of it in your heart and in your life as you turn your eyes from the trouble all around you and instead you look up, recognizing that your redemption and your Redeemer draweth nigh. Listen, if you're lacking in perseverance, I'm going to tell you today, in part, surely it's because you're looking too much at the world around you. You're looking too much at the trouble. You're seeing that there's trouble over there, and there's trouble there. There's trouble in front of you. There's trouble behind you. There's trouble all around you. And what you need to do is stop looking all around you and instead turn your eyes to the heaven and recognize that your redemption and your Redeemer draweth nigh. When you recognize that, when you begin to see that, I'm telling you, there will be a perseverance that would flood your heart. There would be a persevering that would come to you so that you would persevere through whatever trouble you would be in. Get caught up in the here and now, and your life's going to end up in trouble. But live for that day when you hear from the Father, well done, good and faithful servant. And the perseverance will come. Live for that day when you will receive from the Lord himself the victor's crown, the crown of righteousness. Live for that day, and today you will keep the faith. You will continue to fight the good fight. You will run the race marked out for you. You will persevere. Finally, this morning, perseverance. What happens when we have it? Well, that's our message, isn't it? Blessing happens. blessing right now. Look at it in James 1, again in verse 2. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you might be mature and complete, not lacking anything. As athletes persevere in training in order to improve their abilities, in order to improve their endurance for a competition, so we, listen to me, dear child of God, brother and sister, so we persevere in spiritual things, in spiritual training, enduring the trials so that maturity might come, so that there might be a completeness to our faith. And as one author puts it, today's trials then will be the training that helps us to face tomorrow's challenges. That's the blessing. Persevering today will prepare you for what comes tomorrow. One author writes, James does not exhort us to enjoy pain or even to claim our trials are fun. Rather, he tells us that the trials can serve a purpose to prove and improve our faith, and to give us an attitude of joy. That's the blessing. A joy even in the midst of the trial that you would persevere through. A joy that comes from knowing that there's a purpose in the trial. The purpose that is the purifying and the perfecting of our faith. There's the blessing that happens now. And then as well, there's the blessing that comes later. It's our verse today. Verse 12, look at it again. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. 2 Timothy 4, we read it earlier once more. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. And now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. One author says it this way, the believer who endures trials by trusting God will have a life that is truly abundant, joyful, and victorious. Standing the test of life gives believers even now a taste of eternity, but the struggles also lead us to eternal life, the promise of glory in God's presence forever. So all who finish the race by persevering in the face of suffering and temptation will be declared winners. We are in a race. We must persevere through the trials, through the struggle, through the difficulty. And as we do, we'll keep on running and we'll pass mile markers that show the progress of our faith. We are in a race. We must persevere because there is a finish line. The trials, the struggle, the difficulty, they are contained. They are confined to this life. Listen to me, dear child of God. There is coming a day. Listen to me this morning, new life. The test will be over. The race will be finished. And we will experience the blessing of an eternal rest in his presence. And the crown of life, the crown that belongs to the victor's crown, will be given to us. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Lord, help us to persevere. God, I pray for each one of us today. Would you give to me? Would you give to my brother and my sister this morning? God, would you give to us a spirit of perseverance? Lord, I pray especially for the one struggling today, for the one in the midst of the trial, for the one that's grown weary on the journey of faith. for the ones struggling with the doubt that's come from disappointment and unmet expectations. Lord, I pray for them. Church, would you just join me? It might even, in fact, be you. But would you join me in just a moment of prayer for the brother that's struggling today, for the sister that's in the middle of the trial, for the one that's grown weary? Oh, God, help them to persevere. Help them that they not quit. Help them that they not give up. I pray, God, we pray together, an outpouring of perseverance, the spirit of perseverance for the one that's struggling with doubt and disappointment. Listen, my brother, my sister, if that's you, I want you to know it. We're praying for you today. We're praying for you that the Lord would help you, that the Lord would enable you, that the Spirit of the living God would fall fresh on you, that you might persevere through whatever the trouble it is that you're currently in, whatever the trial. We pray for you today. Lord, today we ask for your blessing, and we make your blessing happen in our lives. Lord, today we determine we will fight the good fight. We'll run the race marked for us. We'll finish it. Come on, brother, sister, would you just speak that in the name of Jesus? I'm going to finish the race. I'm going to run. I'm going to run well. I'm going to run the race marked for me. I'm going to finish the race. Lord, we'll fix our eyes and our thoughts on you, Jesus. Help us to do that. Holy Spirit, help us today that we look to Him and Him alone for the help that we need. Holy Spirit, help us that we get our eyes off the things all around us and we turn our eyes on Jesus today. Lord, we'll make our hearts to be responsive afresh and anew to you. We'll hold firmly. We'll renew our confidence in you. We'll take up that confidence again. We will persevere so that there might be blessing for us even now. Ultimately, so that there might be blessing for us in the life to come. We will persevere so that God, ultimately, we might one day, in fact, a day very soon to come, that glorious day, we receive from you the crown of life, the victor's crown. New Life, be blessed today, even as well in the midst of the chaos and the craziness, the uncertainty of this very day that we live in. Be blessed today. Be blessed throughout still the remainder of this year. I pray that you would be. I know that it's taken a crazy turn, but I'm going to tell you this morning, you got to hear me today, New Life. Your pastor still firmly believes that it is the will of God to bless you and to bless me. So for the, yeah, I don't care what's happening in the news. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. So we declare it. We believe it. We affirm it even still today that the remainder of our year, April and May and June and all the rest of the months still to come, that God's going to bless it. I pray that you would do the things that would make it to be blessed. Don't quit. Dear brother, dear sister, don't give up. Don't stop fighting. Come on, I'm speaking to someone this morning. I just sense it in my heart. Don't stop fighting. I know it's weird because this is by way of the internet and we're not face to face, but nevertheless, I would believe it. The Spirit just prompting in my heart, somebody listening this morning, you need to hear it as a word from the Lord for you right now where you're at. Listen, the Lord comes to you today and He says to you, don't stop fighting. Don't stop running. Persevere. And this morning, even I would declare the blessing of the Lord over you. I don't want it to be weird. I don't want it to be uncomfortable for you. But I would just even encourage you, wherever you're at, in your room, in your living room, right now, you just stand to your feet. I want to encourage you to just extend your hands. I believe that the internet is no hindrance for the word of the Lord to be proclaimed and to be received by you. I'm about to give you something. I'm about to declare the blessing of God over you. As the under shepherd of the great shepherd, as the high priest of this assembly, in accordance to the word of God, extend your hands to receive it. Here it comes. I speak and I declare over you the blessing of God. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord's face radiate with joy on you and because of you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and give to you His peace. Amen. Be safe this week. Be healthy. Be wise. And be blessed in the name of Jesus.